really pray, the exciting really pray. And in one part of the book, it gives the account of the young man in a congregation. It is that he had been elected to the eldership. He was now an elder of this congregation, and he came to the night of his first session meeting. You can imagine something perhaps of the nerves and the concern that would be his as he meets with these venerable elders perhaps now for many, many years, elders in that congregation. And during his first meeting, at one point he asked this very simple question, it seems. And the question is as follows. What do you think Christ wants this church to be? What do you think Christ wants this church to be? And then from that first question that he asked, there came a second question. And it's this. What would happen in our congregation if every member was prayed for every single day by someone? What would happen in our congregation if every member was prayed for every single day by someone? And the pastor of this congregation in the book said this. That night, he stopped us in our tracks. That night, he stopped us in our tracks. Because what a question it was. What would happen if we as a congregation prayed for one another every single day? So it is that each week, each month, each year, that there would never be a day go by when it is that somebody in the congregation was not being brought before the throne of grace in prayer. And the reason that I think is important for us is because we would say that we are those who believe in prayer. It is that it's something that we've been brought up perhaps in our earliest days. We've heard it and seen it in others. And now as it is from the moment we came to faith in Jesus Christ, that something that characterizes our life is that we are a praying people. And even as the case tonight, that perhaps your prayer life has been very arid, maybe even now for a number of months, if I asked you, do you still believe in prayer? I would think that every single one of you here tonight would say to me, of course, Alan, I still believe in prayer. So what would happen in our church if every day every member was prayed for by someone? Well, it is that other questions follow on from that. What would it do to our worship? What would it do to my preaching? What would it do to the attendances at both Lord's Day services? What would it do in terms of our evangelism? What would it do, especially even in terms of our relationships with one to another? I think it is that our church wouldn't be the same if we were to make sure that from this night onwards and on into the new year, that every person was prayed for every day by someone who's a member of this congregation. Now, all of us, I think, would agree that with this. And yet, why does it seem so often that it's something that seems unattainable? One person in another book I was reading put it like this. He said, verse 12 is a beautiful garden of growth, listing as it does the three sweet peas of praise, patience, and prayer. Plant these seeds in your heart, and you'll do well throughout your walk. And it is therefore that one of the ways in which we might know of the fragrance of God in our midst, even as the flowers of the gospel arise in us and amongst us, is that we take to heart what it is that Paul is saying here to the Romans in verse 12. We spent some time considering the goal that Paul was setting for us when he said, rejoice in hope. That's the goal for each one of us here tonight. And the challenge is, since we last considered this phrase, can that be said of us, that we've been rejoicing in hope? Then it is that we saw, not only did he set a goal before us, but it is that he put a test before us. And that test was found in the phrase, be patient in tribulation. Be patient under pressure. Be patient when it is that you're hurting, for whatever reason it may be, and whatever providence it is that God has allowed to become part and parcel of your day-to-day experience. And so again, we need to challenge ourselves tonight and say, have we been standing for God as we face this test? Then what we have in the third phrase tonight, where he says, be constant in prayer, it is that I think that what we have here is what we might term our channel, what we might term the place that we have to go through and walk through. You see, if we would want to rejoice in hope, I think Paul is saying to us, you have to be constant in prayer. If it is that you would be patient in tribulation, the very nature of tribulation as it manifests itself means that you must be someone who is constant in prayer. And yet I ask you, as I ask myself tonight, are you someone who's constant in prayer? Can you honestly look at yourself in the mirror over the past 8 months of 2024 and say that you were consistently constant in prayer? If we're being honest, I think most of us, if not all of us, would say no. There were certainly times in my experience when it seemed I was constant in prayer. There were times when it is that my prayer life seemed to take the form of a desert that was arid and dry and not the way that it once was. And that's why I think it is that we need to be reminded that as God's people, that we have at our disposal this most mind-boggling wonder that it is that we can come to our Creator, that it is that we can take words upon our lips, that we can speak to Him. And the amazing thing is that this awesome, almighty, all-powerful God, that it is that He says to you, I'm listening. It is that I'm listening. And I'll answer you, maybe not in the way that you expected, maybe not in the way that you want, but it is that high and exalted as I am, yet it's the case that I listen to you, my people. And it's saying to us that the weakest saint can come before the almighty throne of God in heaven. That it's not the might of the saint that changes things, but it's the intercession of the sufficient Savior who intercedes even for the weakest saint of God tonight, as the Holy Spirit takes these prayers before our Father in heaven. And it's there that the power resides. It's there whereby, as we are constant in prayer, that we are able to rejoice in hope, that we are able to be patient in tribulation. Writer to the Proverbs says this, the prayer of the upright is God's delight, that it is that He delights when in Christ's name we seek His face constantly in prayer. It's saying to us that as Christians, we need to set aside time in our daily schedules to be alone with God in the communion of prayer. It's not a case of praying as you go, as you're heading out the door, because you've got up late, you haven't been able to take breakfast, and you don't want to be late for your work. It's not then a case of praying as you drive, and it is that you're stuck in the traffic jam, and so you take time to pray in the car. And it's not even a case of praying from time to time. Now, don't get me wrong. All of these things are not bad in and of themselves. Often it is. Even on a Sunday as I come to God's house, one of the things that I'm doing as I'm driving is praying to God and asking that He would bless the services and all who would meet with us here in the Lord's day. And it's not as if these prayers would be rejected, but what Paul is urging us to here is to continue steadfastly in prayer. Paul is challenging us and saying, don't stop. Make prayer something that is always in your life and part of your day-to-day walk. Now, you and I know we need to be encouraged to pray. Praying is the most difficult thing in the world to do, isn't it? How often have you perhaps been praying and you think, boy, oh boy, I've been praying for a while now. And it is that you say amen, you open your eyes, and you see that hardly 5 minutes has gone by. And even those 5 minutes of prayer, you're exhausted at the end of it. And I think the reason that so often, the reason that we're like that is because we're not seeking with God's grace daily to be constant, to be devoted to prayer. Prayer, one writer said, as I was reading, and it's true, is more difficult than rocket science. And you think of how brainy rocket scientists are and what it is that they're able to do. And yet, even for the most brilliant rocket scientists, when it is that we come to the place and of the posture of prayer, it's one of the things that we find the most difficult to do. Peter says, cast all your anxieties upon Him. If anything is big enough to worry you, whether it's large or small in the eyes of other people, it's big enough for you to take to God in prayer. And in this way, the devil, I think, has been very subtle with respect to God's people. He would suggest to us, God doesn't care about that little thing in your life. God doesn't care about that thing that seems to have you at breaking point. God isn't concerned about the various details of your life because He's such a great God. How can you bring your petty troubles into His presence? In fact, not only that, you're such an immature Christian to be bringing these trifles to God in prayer because it's the case that God is a crutch to you. And that's even what many in the world would say to us, that God is a crutch. How do we answer them? With what Paul says here. We're constant in prayer. Now, you may have a different version, and this word that's translated as constant here can be translated in a number of ways. It can be translated as that you're devoted to prayer, that you're faithful in prayer, or you're persistent in prayer. And of all the aspects, and of course we have it here in the ESV as a that we be constant in prayer, I think the translation of this word to devoted is perhaps the better translation. And I think it gets the aspects of what it is that the word speaks of. The word is used in Mark's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse 9. Listen to it. Jesus told his disciples to have a boat ready. Now, the word that's translated ready in Mark's Gospel is the same word that's translated here in Romans 12:12 by constant. And what it is that Jesus was telling his disciples, I want you to set apart a boat. I want you to devote a boat, in a sense, for the purpose of taking me away in case the crowd becomes threatening. So in a very real sense, the boat and the purpose for which the boat was to be used was devoted. It was dedicated to the task that was appointed for it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, boats just normally sit in place before they head out to sea. But you and I, as God's people, were not devoted in this way. There's a dynamic about us, and that dynamic is seen, I think, in our prayer life. And it is that when the word is applied to a person, the word constant here, that could also be translated devoted, it means that we're devoted to something, not only in the sense of designation and appointment, but also in the sense of being appointed to a task and making sure that it is that we perform that task. Listen to Paul in Romans 13 and 6. He talks about the role of the government like this. You also pay taxes for rulers or the servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. There's a function, there's a purpose that it is that they have to perform. They're not only designated by God for a task, but it is that they, as tax collectors, are devoting themselves, giving themselves to the task that they are called to. And what's even more remarkable about this word here that's translated constant or devoted as in elsewhere, is that 5 out of the 10 times this word is used in the New Testament, that 5 times it's used in reference to prayer. 50%. It's used in reference to prayer. Listen to Acts 1 and 14. It's after the ascension of Jesus. These all with one mind, what were they doing? They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Same word. They were constant in prayer. Acts 2 and 42, the early converts in Jerusalem. You read this. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They were constant in what it was that they were doing. Acts 6 and 4, and listen to the apostles. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then in Colossians 4 and 2, and Paul says to all of us, devote yourselves to prayer, the same word. Be constant in prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So it would seem that the Holy Spirit, as he moved the writers to give us these words, that he sees this word as particularly important and vital for us as God's people to understand and to seek to put what it speaks of into effect in our lives. And so as we come to the end of 2024 and are about to head into 2025, I think the question that all of us needs to ask ourselves is this: am I devoted to prayer? Am I constant in prayer? Is that the nature of my prayer life? Doesn't mean that prayer is all that you do, any more than being devoted to a wife means that the husband, that all he does is hang out with his wife. That's not what it is that the scripture is saying. But when it is that you're devoted, that you're constant in prayer, you know the difference when it is that you're not devoted or constant in prayer. It's something that's tangible. It's something that even perhaps your wife, your husband, your parents, your fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's something that they may recognize because it comes out in different ways in your speech and how you are and what it is that you're wanting to do. And it is that you're not being as devoted in prayer as you once were. And we all know the difference. We can't kid ourselves on. We know when we're constant, when we're devoted, and the times when it is that we're not. And these times can last not just for days, but even for weeks or for months. How often have you perhaps met a Christian brother or sister, and you can tell that they're cast down, and you take words like Psalm 42, or why are you cast down, O my soul? Still trust in God. And they reply, well, yeah, I would if I could pray. And it is that you find out that perhaps now for months they haven't been constant in prayer. But that's the challenge of what Paul is saying here. See, when it is that you only pray when a crisis enters into your life, that's not being constant in prayer. When it is that you say grace at mealtimes, that's not being constant in prayer. When it is that you go to bed, and I remember as a little boy, I would say this prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and so on. It is that that's not being constant in prayer. Or what about the hit and miss attitude in terms of prayer? You're in the car park at this Christmas season, you're desperate for a parking space, and you go, help me, Lord, I need a parking space. That's not being devoted to prayer. They're all good, don't get me wrong. But it's not what Paul is speaking of here. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of dependence. He's saying that there should be a spirit of dependence that permeates everything that we do as God's people. That this is the very spirit and essence of prayer. So even when it is that you're not consciously speaking to God, that there is a deep dependence upon him that's woven into the heart of faith that is yours. And in that sense, we pray out of the spirit of prayer continuously. We're dependent upon God. We're asking him to so work and to so move that many aspects of our life, we're constantly praying. Repetition. Is that not another thing that Paul's speaking of here? I take this not only from Romans 12, but what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Being devoted to prayer, being constant in prayer, means that we will pray without ceasing. And I think that this is what Paul has in mind most immediately, that praying without ceasing means praying repeatedly, and it means praying often. For it is that the word that's translated without ceasing, it's a word that Paul uses in Romans 1 and 9 where he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. Now, Paul's not saying that he mentioned the Romans every moment of his waking life, or even every minute of his prayers. He prayed about many other things. But what he's saying to us is, I mentioned the Romans over and over in a week, and often in a week, in a month. It is that I prayed for them without ceasing, not 24/7, but it is that they became part and parcel of my prayer life. Do we have that for ourselves here as God's people? I mean, one of the things that I'm glad that we do on a Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting is we work through the congregational directory. And it is that we pray for two families every Wednesday evening. And it is that a few weeks ago, we got back to the beginning of the congregational list. And it's almost as though that there's an umbrella of prayer that's found over the members and the adherents of this congregation. And it's something that perhaps we need to do, not just at the prayer meeting, but it is that maybe we even need to be assigned. I know Rod and Jim and David, I haven't spoken to you about this, but it's come to my head as I'm preaching. And maybe it is that we need to ask the members of the congregation, I say to them, is there someone you would want to pray for every day? And assign that person, that family to them. And so it is, as this young elder said to the elders at his first session meeting, we should be praying and there should be prayer in the congregation for everyone, every day of the week, that there's not a single individual in the congregation who isn't covered by prayer. And who hasn't been brought before the throne of grace. And if there's dependence, if there's repetition, there has to be perseverance as well. Praying without ceasing, being constant in prayer, being devoted to prayer, means not giving up in prayer. it is that Paul's saying to us, don't ever come to the point in your life where you cease to pray at all. Don't abandon the God of hope and say, there's no use praying. I've been praying for many, many years, but there's no use praying because he's not answering my prayer. Every time my sister-in-law's with us and I see her sitting there, I thank God. Why? Because we prayed for her for over 20 years, Alison and I. And to be honest, we gave up. We gave up. We stopped. Because after 20 years, there didn't seem to be any change. But God moved and God worked. And God brought her to the place that she recognized her need of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't abandon the God who is the God of hope. We shouldn't abandon the God of whom it is said, all things are possible with God. We shouldn't abandon in prayer the God who has created the heavens and the earth and all that's part of the universe. If you looked at some of the latest pictures from the James Webb telescope, and it is that they're seeing galaxies that are just astronomical dimensions. But the pictures are amazing. And you're seeing all these galaxies scattered about like Smarties against the darkness of heaven. And it screams out at you, God created this. God spoke this into being. And God is the God who sustains this universe. Why would we not be constant in prayer and devoted in prayer to such a God? See, even Jesus himself, in one of his parables, he's very jealous for us to learn the lesson to be constant in prayer. You remember the parable of the persistent widow? You read this in Luke 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus says, you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why? Because he knew that our experience in prayer would tempt us to quit praying altogether. So along with the apostle, Jesus is saying, never lose heart. Go on praying. Don't cease in prayer. Or in other words, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Lean on God all the time for the miracle of joy in your life. Never give up looking to this God for help, no matter how seemingly insignificant the help you need may be. Come to this God repeatedly, even during a day and often, and cry out and say, Lord, I need you. I can't even articulate why it is that I need you or what it is that I need being done in my life, but you know, Lord, and Lord, I need you, and I need you to help me. Think of some of the examples of Scripture. The upright man of Psalm 1, what does he do? He meditates on God's law day and night. We could almost say he meditates without ceasing. It's the same for us. We should be meditating and praying without ceasing. And it is that there needs to be a sense of discipline in our lives and a plan in terms of our prayer life. And it's something that we need to set aside. We may pray anytime, anywhere, in the air in which we breathe. But if there are no disciplined times, and church history and those who were used mightily by God in church history, one of the things that you read about them in their biographies is that they were constant in prayer. Martin Luther, he got up and prayed for the first 4 hours of the day. Wow. You see how God used them? The spark of the Reformation. John Calvin was the same. And it is that these individuals spent hours in prayer. The Puritans of old. Why is it that we have such a treasury of theological works from these men, these Puritans? Why? Because they were constant in prayer. They were devoted in prayer. And if you want to have a spontaneous hour, a vital hour by hour, spontaneous walk with God, you must also have a disciplined, regular meeting with God for prayer. What about Daniel? Prophet Daniel, he had a remarkable relationship with God, especially when it was critically needed. But what did this wonderful relationship grow out of? It grew out of the fact that Daniel was disciplined and was regular in terms of his prayer life. Listen to what you read in Daniel 6 and from verse 7. Then the high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And it is that they said, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. And the penalty for disobedience was death. Listen to what you read in Daniel 6 and from verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel's custom was to pray in the same place three times every day. Now, we're not being told that three times a day is the ideal number. Others have prayed more often. Psalm 119, seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. But the point is, and it's with this that I close, that if you want to rejoice in hope, if you want to be patient in tribulation, then you have to develop disciplined times of prayer. If you do that, great. More power to you, really. If it's something that you're struggling with, think of Romans 12:12. It's an easy verse. Even my memory, as bad as it is, I can say Romans 12:12, I know what that is, and start to repeat it. And let's pray that in 2025, as God would in his will give it to us, that we would increasingly be a people of devoted and constant prayer. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank you for this verse that we have spent time on over the past number of weeks. And it is a verse, our God, that we pray that you might have blessed to us, that we would rejoice and hope, that if it is that we are facing tribulation, as some are tonight, that we would be patient in tribulation. And it is that undergirding these two responses, we would be a people who are constant and devoted to prayer. We know that there are many things that would seek to take us away from the place and the attitude of prayer. It's almost as though at times we need to fight to take time to pray. But we pray, Father, that we might recognize that this is absolutely necessary for our good and indeed for your glory. We pray, Father, that we would uphold one another at the throne of grace and that we would be able to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go with us then this week, our God. Help us each day often to be praying and to be thanking you and bringing to your petitions and our requests. And it is that we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated.